Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I'm Jamie Hill.
And this is the last week that you get to do that.
This is very sadly the end of the October Spooktacular series of Misfit Stars podcasts.
There's always next year.
We've got to get them all in now.
Oh my goodness.
It's terrifying.
You can't see Jamie right now, but as that spooky laugh was happening, his mouth was kind of like mimicking. I don't even think you realized you were doing it.
No, I don't think I did. I was just really inhabiting the vision of being this spooky skeleton.
Oh my gosh.
Whose button I pushed on our sound coffin.
Welcome everybody.
Oh hi, how y'all doing? Don't mind us and our sound coffin. I should post a picture of this thing. It really is just the most joyous device. About 5 inches tall, 2.5 inches wide, shaped like, it's a black coffin with like silver edges. It's pretty detailed. And it has a red speaker where the head would be and like 15 buttons.
Now there's no need for a picture.
That's true. It's very cool. It's black and red. It's very goth. Anyway, hi everyone. Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast.
Welcome.
Nice to see you.
To our podcast.
Yeah, totally. Hey, we would like to welcome our new listeners and thank our new supporters. New listeners, hi people. I wonder if some of you found this episode because we did the sobriety episode last week.
Maybe.
Maybe so. I did a post about that and there seemed to be some interest and perhaps that was the situation. If that is indeed the case, welcome people.
So glad you're here.
Yeah. Here's the deal. That was a really good episode. This one probably won't be that good. So I just want to say sorry in advance to the people who came here having heard the really good podcast last week. And they're like, wow, I've discovered something so great. Well, just temper your expectations, people. You know, pump the brakes a little bit. Not everything can be amazing all of the time, you know?
Some things are just mediocre.
Yeah. I mean, we do our best.
Oh my gosh. We're so glad that you're here.
Yeah, we are. And by the way, if you listen to the podcast and you do legitimately love the podcast, do us a favor. Please go and leave a 5-star review for it on Apple Podcasts.
That'd be awesome.
Or wherever you listen to this, Stitcher, whatever. It will help. It will help get the podcast in front of more people because when a podcast has a lot of good reviews, the algorithms on the site that's hosting it show it to more people. And we would love that. So thanks.
The almighty algorithm.
Seriously, that's it. We just live our life in service to algorithms these days. I like it. I, for one, like my new robot overlords. And hey, speaking of new supporters, say, for example, that you are one of the people who loves this podcast. You've been listening maybe just once, maybe a bunch of times, and you love it, and you're not yet a supporter. Consider becoming one.
A supporting member.
It's inexpensive. It's a $5 a month commitment. It's like just a recurring monthly thing. Get charged on the first of the month. Not a big deal. But we aggregate that support. Like we put it all together and it becomes more than just any individual person's contribution. As you probably know, if you follow what we do with music, we crowdsource a whole lot of things in our lives from, you know, funding for the albums that we make for Shannon, to little side quests like building the music computer for the Homeless Youth Center, that project we did last month. You know, there's all this stuff that we do where we leverage the fact that we have an amazing community of people and everyone pitches in a little bit and we can accomplish mighty amazing things when everyone puts in their little bit. And we are using that to power our podcast too. So if you love this podcast,
maybe. You could become a member.
Yeah, you could. That's it. That's the whole deal.
You become a supporting member. So here's how you do it. You go to misfitstars.com/join, mm-hmm. and you will see there a page that that tells you how to become a member. You take a few minutes, you sign up, you choose a level that works for you. Mm-hmm. The most basic level is $5 a month.
Yep.
But there's also some levels where you can get a sticker sheet. Because who doesn't love stickers?
Everyone loves stickers.
There's a level where you can get a t-shirt, which is a really like, cute t-shirt.
Even if you're listening to this and you're like, no, actually, I don't love stickers, you're wrong.
No, you do love stickers. Yeah. Everybody loves stickers.
That's true. Put them on your phone.
So you become a member, and then all of a sudden what happens when you become a member is that, first of all, you get access to all of the previously locked episodes that are locked only mm-hmm. for members exclusive episodes,
that's
we
right.
call them. Uh-huh. So all of those exclusive episodes that we've done since the beginning of this podcast, which was almost a year ago. Wow.
This is episode 49, by the way.
What?
We've done so many podcasts.
Yes. So you'll be getting access to all the ones that were previously unavailable to you. So you got lots of stuff to catch up on.
Yeah.
And all the ones going forward from here also, the mm-hmm. the members exclusive episodes. And then also what you get is you'll be getting an invitation to join our private Facebook group just for our Misfit Stars.
Which is lovely.
It's a lovely group. The activity there has been ramping up. There have been some great conversations.
Yeah.
I love it. So
it's a safe space where people don't act like assholes. You'll love it.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Unless you like places where people do act like assholes.
I mean, I suppose you could get yourself in the group and make it be that.
No, don't do that.
Don't do
You're
that.
Not allowed if that's the case.
That's right. We're banning you.
So become a member. It would mean a lot to us. It practically, in a very practical, tangible way, helps us to continue doing this thing. Mm-hmm. And if you find that it's bringing value into your life, well, we would be super honored if you would kick a little something our way to help us keep going. So Thank you.
I love it. I like the kick something our way verbiage. That's good.
I just made that up on the fly.
I like it.
Yeah. So after the break today in this episode, we have a listener topic, which, by the way, we get our listener topics exclusively from our Misfit Stars members, right? So it's another thing you get to do, right?
If you're one of these people who tells us on Facebook, hey, I was listening to your podcast and I kept wanting to say stuff.
That's where you say stuff.
Yeah.
And so we take our listener topics every week from our stars. And this week we have a topic from our star, Scott. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
On how we maintain social grace and open minds. Do we do that all the time? I'm not sure. Stay tuned. When we encounter someone of a different belief or value system. Mm-hmm. And that does happen because we live on planet Earth.
And we travel.
Many, 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 many humans.
Yeah, we travel to all kinds of weird places.
We do.
Yeah. And by weird, I mean anywhere other than the West Coast. just kidding.
That's also weird.
I know. Right?
Yeah. So that's coming up after.
That was a joke.
After the break.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Yeah, totally. Uh-huh.
Cool.
Good. So what did we do this week?
What did we do this week?
You know what I did this week?
What'd you do?
I turned 47.
What?
Yeah. It's good. It's a prime number. It's not even the last prime number I'll hit in my 40s. 40s are good for that.
What's the other prime number?
49.
Nuh-uh.
Oh, seven times seven. Oh, shit. This is the last one. What are other ones? There was 41, 43, 47. That's still pretty good.
That's a lot of prime numbers in the 40s.
Yeah.
So you have a prime number. That's good.
I think it's going to be a special year because of that.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh.
Prime number years just seem like they're special years for some reason.
Is this an observation you've made before right now? Or is this just a...
It's just how I feel about it right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Because prime numbers are good.
All right.
And maybe they are going to transfer some of their magic prime number good energy onto me.
Maybe so.
The prime number birthday haver.
I believe it.
Thank you.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you're a prime number. And how does it feel being 47?
It feels great.
It feels
just fine. It feels really good. I seem to get more comfortable with myself the older I get. So, you know, here's hoping that continues. You know, that whole giving fewer F's thing. We were having this conversation with some friends from out of town for a brunch, like just before we recorded this podcast. And apropos of Shannon's hair, she was talking about the idea just of giving fewer F's. In case you didn't know, listeners, Shannon has cut her hair and is letting it go gray.
Wow.
And it's wonderful. And it's all about her giving fewer F's program that she's on now.
It's one of the reasons why.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that does tend to happen when you get older. That's one of the benefits of getting older, right?
I think that's probably why old people seem weird sometimes. It's because they've always been weird since they were little kids. But then, like, you get that socialized out of you, like, you know, through, like, high school and college. And you get normalized. That's what, like, education systems do to people, right? That's the whole point of it, is to make you be less weird so you can, like, get a job and support yourself in our capitalist society, right?
Also, education systems do educate.
Yeah, that's one of the other
but
things.
But that's another thing, yeah.
Yeah, but like our college more, yeah. But like our public school system, like, you know, K-12, is designed to make factory workers. And you don't want weird factory workers. You want everyone to be the same, you know?
Right, okay.
You want a homogenous group of people that will all act exactly the same. So you, the business owner, can predictably make your profit.
Okay. So you're saying that as people get older, they cast off the normalization and they just let their freak flag fly?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah. So all those old people you see and you're like, oh man, she's really gotten weird. Maybe she was always weird and she just is more comfortable now letting it show.
Really what you are right now as a 47-year-old is 1 year weirder.
That's a great way to think about it. I like that.
Oh dear, we're all in trouble.
But I'm also 1 year kinder, and I think that those are good countervailing forces.
I'll take that.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a difference between weird in a personal way that's maybe sort of charming, you know, and being weird in a way where it's sort of discomforting or off-putting or invasive to other people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's good,
you
know. I hope that I'm not like the belligerent type of weird when I'm 85 years old.
Me too.
Yeah, right? Although you're going to be weird too.
Yeah.
You won't notice. You'll be like, that's normal to me.
And I give fewer Fs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another thing that we did this week is that we started scouting for our Pay It Forward project, I guess. So
that's a good word.
To refresh people's memory, if you weren't around when we were doing this last spring, we did a fundraiser for our album project for Revolutionary Acts of Optimism.
Yeah.
And the very last fundraising level goal was what we called our Pay It Forward goal. We had never tried anything like this before. It was brand new. But the idea was that if we raised the money in that last goal in our fundraiser, we were going to use that money to pay it forward. Specifically, it meant that we were going to find an artist here in Tacoma, somebody who's writing original music, who's at the beginning of their artistic expression.
Beginning of their journey.
Yeah, so not somebody who's like, you know, made a couple albums and has been out there doing their thing for a while, but somebody who's just getting going, from who could really benefit from a kickstart to what they're doing. So we're going to look for somebody who's writing original music, who's doing something compelling, who's, you know, has the ambition to learn and grow and make more of what they're doing with their music. And we're going to invite them into our home studio, and we're going to make a little record with them.
Yeah.
Because y'all, our community funded it.
Yeah.
With a Pay It Forward level. Yeah. That's what we're doing. We started scouting last week in our, we went to a couple of open mics and just started paying attention to who's out there. What are they doing? What are they up to?
Yeah. Yeah. It was really cool. One of the open mics was super good. One of the open mics wasn't, but we're learning that too. Like, which are the ones that we vibe with?
Yeah. Like, I'm not so very interested in going to the open mics where the audience is, kind of mostly interested in drinking and talking loud while there happens to be music happening in the corner.
Yeah.
Like, it's just really harder to connect with what's going on. And also, I think that, I don't know, I wonder if maybe the kind of person that we're looking for wouldn't be drawn to that kind of an atmosphere either.
That's an interesting point.
You know, so yeah. I'm not sure. We're learning. We've got lots more places to explore, and we'll be continuing that this week as well. So
we did hear one really, really interesting guy last week who I hope is going to be back there tonight.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I want to mention something else from our experience last week. There was one young woman that we saw perform at the coffee shop that, oh my gosh, just reminded me so much of myself.
Oh, so much.
So she wouldn't be a contender for the Pay It Forward project that we're doing because she's already recorded an album.
Yeah.
But I think maybe she was out there just to get an opportunity to play in front of some people, maybe to debut some new stuff. I'm not sure what. But she reminded me of myself because she looked to be in her 20s, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Like late 20s, maybe.
She's a piano player, a keyboard player, and most open mics don't have a house keyboard or house piano.
Right.
Like, you got to show up with your own instrument. So if you're a guitar player, you're super lucky because you just like waltz on in with your guitar over your shoulder and bam, plug in, you're good. When you're a piano player, things are different.
Yeah.
And
so much less sexy. Walking in with a guitar slung over your back, kind of sexy, kind of rock and roll. Walking in lugging, straining to barely carry an 80-pound instrument, somewhat different.
Oh, and having to make multiple trips to your car because not only are you carrying your 80-pound instrument, you also have the stand on which it has to sit and your bench and whatever cables you... Like, there's lots of infrastructure when you're a keyboard player.
Yeah.
So note to anyone out there who's considering a career in music... It's way easier to travel with a guitar.
Yeah.
Note to my younger self.
Yeah.
Who learned piano instead of guitar. But anyway, she came in and she's got her keyboard and her stand, and the stand was sort of malfunctioning and not setting up right. And they give you a very short window of time in which to set up your stuff. Like, you know, one act is done and then they announce your name and you're supposed to get up there and start your thing. But there was this awkwardly long pause between acts because she was trying to set her stuff up. She ended up abandoning her stand altogether and just using some other infrastructure, like a table or something at the coffee shop and, you know, and finally she got set up. And
she did a great job, but it was still five long minutes.
Absolutely. But I remember being her. Like I used to, when I was first starting out doing my solo music, I'd been in a band for many, many years. But when I was first starting out doing my solo music, I would go to all the open mics in Sacramento. And I would go, you know, every single week religiously to like one or two open mics in Sacramento. And
they were at Old Ironsides
and the Capitol Garage.
Yeah.
And I have to bring my own keyboard. And again, like this was me every week, twice a week, loading in and out this gear to play three songs.
Yeah.
You know, for a group of people. And so seeing her do all that just brought me back to that time in my life. And, you know, it was just kind of fun. It was kind of fun to see that someone else was doing that too. And yeah. I wonder where she'll be in like, you know, 15 years.
Yeah. 18, 19 years. Yeah.
Well, no, I was doing that like when I was like 30 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm 45 now, so.
45?
Yeah. I know, right? So yeah, it was just fun to see that. So we're keeping our eyes peeled for the right person.
You are precisely 50% older now than then. Do you think you're 50% smarter?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think I might be 50% dumber.
Well, you just achieved that math in your head, so there you go.
You know, I've always been good with numbers.
I'm not good at math in my head. Never have been. So yeah, we're looking for someone with something to say. That's what we want. That's what we want to find in our.
I'm using the Steve Albini method for listening to these people. So there's this record producer named Steve Albini, and I read a lot about other producers because I'm always interested in kind of like just, you know, how do people do what they do? Who do what I do? You know? And there's this guy, Steve Albini. He makes a lot of rock records. He made Nirvana back in the day, and he's made others since. And I learned the best technique from him. There's this band that he made a record for like, I don't know, 7, 8 years ago called the Cloud Nothings. And I read an interview with them in which they were like, and the interviewer was like, so Steve Albini produced your record, huh? How was that? And the singer was like, I don't know. I guess it was fine. The record came out good, but half the time it didn't even seem like he was paying attention. And then
he was playing Words with Friends.
They asked Steve Albini about that.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, I find that if I focus on something in an undivided way, sometimes I'll be overly critical. Like I'll think about it too much.
Uh-huh.
And a really good technique is to do like, you know, play Words with Friends or do something on the phone where you're kind of half paying attention. And so if something is it sets a threshold over which something has to rise to be a level of something that you need to actually pay attention to. And so I've been doing that like with people I'm listening to at the open mic, just kind of like scrolling Twitter or whatever, kind of passively just like looking at headlines or whatever. If a song is really good or if something's interesting, it'll catch my ear.
Yeah.
But it stops me from doing that empathetic thing I'm otherwise really inclined to do, which is every single person there be like, you're doing great. This is great.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and for me, having been the person on the stage, knowing how it feels to look out and see people scrolling their phones, I just can't be that person scrolling my phone while someone's performing. Like, I can't do that, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
That's why I won't be doing the Steve Albini method.
That's good. Hey, we have one representative at our table who's being considerate. And that's nice.
Yeah.
I'm sad it's not me, but what can you do, really? I think about myself in better terms than that, but sometimes you just got to know who you are, you know?
Yeah. We did some civic engagement last week also. We went to a local debate between two candidates for our city council position.
District 3 representative.
There were a lot of people from District 3 at the debate. There were lots of representation.
It was packed. They held it at a local community college in like the sort of big kind of, I don't know what it is, study room, event room or whatever. Yeah. It was great. It was really, really cool. They did a really good job. They did a good job setting it up and engaging people. The sound was
terrible.
Unbelievably bad.
It was bad.
But that's okay. That's okay. We sat like 4 rows. There were probably like 30 rows, and we sat like 4 rows from the front, and it was still straining to hear sometimes.
Yeah, it was terrible.
But that aside, it was illuminating, and I'm glad we went, you know?
Yeah, you know, when you talk about, when people talk about politics, when you say the word politics or hear the word politics, I think probably for a lot of us, what comes to mind is like national politics.
Right.
Right? But really the stuff that affects our lives in the most sort of dramatic ways on a day-to-day basis happens locally.
You're so right about that.
And a lot of the issues that we're, you know, when we drive around town or we read the paper, you know, about our local our city here in Tacoma, the stuff that we are noticing that needs improvement or that needs, you know, attention, that stuff gets addressed mainly at the local level. So, you know, it was really interesting to be, you know, to hear two people who are vying for the same position talk about their perspectives on it. It did feel a little small town.
Yes.
In some ways, you know, like I feel like these two candidates at times, the debate turned into a little bit more of a personal argument at times. Like there was a little too much ego in the mm-hmm. in the room for my taste. Mm-hmm. You know, where like a more someone who's been in politics for a long time, who has people coaching them on messaging and things like that, probably would be coached out of sort of the way in which each of these people tended to take things personally. You know, does that make sense?
They were kind of petty about stuff.
There was a little bit of pettiness. Yeah.
like trying to do zingers, but like not at a level where anyone cares. So it's just like, oh, come on, man, why are you doing that?
Yeah. But nonetheless, it was interesting. And, you know, I emerged personally from that experience not feeling like super gung-ho about one candidate or the other, but rather mm-hmm. feeling like there were things about, you know, one that I appreciated and things about the other that I appreciated.
The charismatic one isn't particularly well-informed, and the well-informed one isn't particularly charismatic.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Pick one.
I didn't come away with like a solid, like, here's who I'm going to vote for. I think maybe I have sort of settled on that since then, you know, and sort of thinking, reflecting a little bit more about sort of the vision that I personally want for our city. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was informative. It was good to be there.
It was good to be there. There was one part about it that I found very endearing, which is, so they sort of set some rules at the beginning.
Oh, that's right.
Where, you know, like, just to keep the flow of things going and to keep it, you know, friendly for everyone involved, they asked that there not be a whole lot of clapping, particularly.
They asked there be no clapping.
That's right, no clapping. Yes. So just let them talk and do their thing and back and forth, and we'll do one big applause at the end of the whole thing. You know, and it starts out, you know, they ask them some questions about some hot button issues like homelessness and stuff where people really care about the responses, you mm-hmm. know. And there were some like thorough, like, you know, little clap, 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 clap after someone would talk. And the moderator, who bless her heart, seemed so sweet and was just so ineffectual as a moderator because she's like, she talks about this loud. And if you couldn't hear that because you're listening in the car, what I said is I whispered, she talks about this loud, but I whispered it. she's a really, really soft-spoken, and she was moving her head away from the microphone all of the time. So it's like she couldn't really be heard. And so when she would try to interject, it didn't really work because like you have to make your presence known to interject, and that just wasn't happening.
Right.
And so you get these wonderful situations. Like pretty much everyone at a certain point kind of got the idea that you weren't supposed to clap, we're not going to clap. But the one person who didn't was one of the candidates' partner.
Yeah.
And so, like, he would say something, and she would clap, 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 clap. But it was one person clapping, so it sounded like this.
One person sitting in the front row.
And then the moderator would turn and go really, really quietly in a little quiet voice, remember, no clapping. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then they do another question, and the other guy do it. And then they do a question for this guy, and he do it. And again, the spouse. And then, remember, no clapping.
It was that same thing repeated over and over and over again.
Oh, it was great. It was great. Yeah, it was like waiting for Guffman or something. It was just so adorable. It was very small. It was very sweet.
Very small and sweet. Yeah. But yay, city council.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too, right? Because like this, apparently like in our district last election cycle, which is 4 years ago, 1,600 people voted for this position.
But there are 40,000 people in the district.
Yeah, I mean, it's just this little local election. No one really cares, which is, you know, that's bad. But also, like, you can really make a difference at a debate like that. There were probably 150 people in the room.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is, like, almost 10% of the voting population, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if someone swayed 50 people, that could be the difference. Mm-hmm. That's a sizable difference. That's a, you know, 3% difference.
Right.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know.
Local politics.
Woot, woot.
Yay.
I started mixing a record.
Yes, you did. I'm so excited.
Oh, my gosh. And it's such a good record. I've been remote producing this record, which has been really super interesting process and something I've been doing more of as recording budgets go down and people want to work with me from different parts of the country where I can't necessarily like fly to on their budget, you know?
Or they don't have the flexibility to fly here and be here to make their record or whatever.
Yeah. And so something I've been doing increasingly for people is they'll self-record, you know, and you have to be a pretty capable self-recordist to do this. And this guy is, his name is Johnny Zachman, Z-A-C-H-M-A-N. I would encourage anyone listening to look him up. He's really, really talented. Mm-hmm. Like everything he's ever made has been good. He's just one of those really creative, very in tune people. He did a really interesting, weird, like kind of American, almost folk record a year and a half ago, like a kind of like a weird acoustic Americana thing. But this is like full on indie rock. This record is much darker. And so he self-records and then sends me MP3s of what he's working on. And I send detailed notes and then he incorporates the notes and sends me another version. I send more notes and we just keep doing that process until there's no more notes. Mm-hmm. And then when there's no more notes, he takes then the session files and sends them to me and I open them up on my system and kind of finish the mixing and doing additional production and you know stuff
right,
that I
which
hear
is
whatever.
What you've started this week.
And I started that and I am so excited. This is the first music thing I've started since we've been on tour, so since the late spring.
Right.
And it just feels really really good.
Good.
I'm kind of getting my feet back under me, just like remembering like who are my guys? Like what are my
what are my tools?
Yeah, which tools do I like? Which one is a good screwdriver? Like yeah. You know. I can't remember. But it's great. It's really really good. It's nifty to kind of, I'm realizing, you know, there's a discontinuity. I kind of have to get back up to speed every fall because I haven't done this for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, there's parts
getting back on the bike.
Getting back on the bike. There's part of that that's annoying, you know, because it's like, I should be quicker. But then there's also a part of it that's really good because, like, I have to listen more intentionally.
Yeah.
And I'm not in patterns
or
in ruts.
In ruts, yes.
You know, which is really good. Like, for like not doing it for, like, 4 months really gets me out of any ruts I might have been in at the end of the last cycle of doing it. I'm sure by May I'll be in, you know, another rut of some sort. You know, or a series of them. Mm-hmm. You know, you just get ways of working. And it might not be one thing, but like it might just be like, it just seems like I always use this compressor for the vocal. And it always seems like I use this thing for this instrument, you know? Mm-hmm. And now I'm just like experimenting with a whole bunch of different stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, what do the different things sound like?
Yeah, that's cool. That's really awesome. I'm really excited for this EP that you're doing. The songs are great.
The songs are wonderful.
It's really awesome.
Yeah.
Another very exciting thing that happened for us this week is that we... A flashback to last fall, or I guess last fall, right before Christmas.
Yep.
You and I decided that for Christmas gifts to each other, we were going to commission our friend June to paint us a painting.
Yeah.
Our friend June is a beautiful fine artist in Northern California.
Her last name is Steckler, S-T-E-C-K-L-E-R. June Steckler. Look her up. She's really, really good. She's on Instagram and Facebook.
And she's a dear friend. And when we got to know the work that she was doing last fall, I just remember like seeing the work that she was doing and just feeling so incredibly moved by it. She still does work with a lot of like color is her thing. Like just vibrant colors. You know, that's one of her signature sort of... one of the signature elements of the work that she creates. But last fall, a lot of the work was a lot of vibrant, bright colors that seemed to me to be bursting out of this layered, textured, tumultuous white.
Yeah. Like imagine a white painting that color is clawing its way out of.
Exactly. That's, yes. And so, I when I saw the work she was doing, it just felt like a metaphor for my life. You know, like it felt like, you know, this like undeniable, you know, vibrant, true life trying to find its way out from whatever previously hidden place it had been.
In like a sort of chaotic and unpredictable and beautiful
joyous
way. Yeah.
Way. Yeah. And so it was so moving to both of us. And so we're like, we need some of her work in our lives permanently. And it just so happened that we had this wall in our house that was begging for a large piece of work.
Yeah. It's in our living room. And it's such a big wall that like when we first moved in, we knew that it needed at least something to be different. So we painted it charcoal gray.
Mm-hmm.
All the rest of the walls in the room are grayish, you know?
Like a light gray.
Yeah. And this one wall we knew would be an accent wall. So we made it be that just with the paint we put on it. But it still is this huge empty space.
Right.
And so, like, June, like, made it to the exact size
that we wanted.
Like, her husband, Brian, who's mostly he's a composer and a music producer, and he's really, really talented. So, and they're dear friends of ours, and they're also a married pair of working artists, and it's really neat. But he's also a really talented woodworker. So
he really makes
these like custom wood like frames and panels and stuff for her to either like stretch canvases on or to paint on. In this case, mm-hmm. she knew that she told us she would rather for this style of hers that we wanted this painting to be in.
To work on wood.
She wanted to work on wood because there's like, she presses stuff. Like she takes like full Coke cans and like, or things like that, heavy things, and rolls them through the paint and the texture.
Right.
And she pushes. And so she wants something that she can push on, because you can't push as hard on canvas because it's stretchy.
Right. It's a physical activity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he built this panel and she painted on it. And we actually got to meet the painting. We saw it for the first time in June this last summer when we were on tour, which was a super emotional experience. It was so wonderful to meet it. And then we had to say goodbye to it because we didn't have room in our car to bring it home with all of our gear in it from tour. So we had to store it in Northern California.
What I had been going to say was that we were able to say it exactly to the inch exactly what size we wanted this thing.
Uh-huh.
And so we made it 5'8" wide, because that's like, 6 would have been too much and 5 would have been too short, but 5'8" was perfect. And we like, so yeah, we had measured our inside of our car, but we had measured the bottom of the
station
wagon.
We're like, well, we can transport this home, but it was the bottom of the station wagon, not a gear-packed car where it could have sat on top.
We would have put it on top, but the top is not square in our car.
No.
The top window angles in, so we were off by like a foot. Yeah. It's pathetic.
So we were planning on just driving back down to go get it sometime this fall, maybe at Thanksgiving or something, to make a trip, make that trip in an art picking up trip also. But some dear friends of ours offered to drive it up for us this past weekend, which was, first of all, an amazing gift from them. And secondly, we got to spend some time with friends, which was also wonderful.
And they got like a really cool like autumn road trip, a couple Thelma and Louise kind of trip.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Holly and Lisa.
Yeah.
And so we've got this painting now in our house, and it's just so lovely. Like I've never had a piece of art created just for me.
Yeah.
The people have made me little things over the years,
sure,
obviously.
But that's
this
right.
is like the me pursuing an artist to make something for me.
You've never had a commission.
I've never done that kind of experience. I've been the creator a lot of times, making music for people.
Yeah.
When people, hire me to write personal songs for them. And so it was kind of fun to be on the opposite side of that equation in this art making process. And it's really special to have this beautiful artwork in our house.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah. It's just, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And we're just going to get to know it better and better and better, like over the rest of the course of our lives, which is really neat.
I know. It's a new member of our family.
Yeah.
One of the really cool things that we did when our friends came to town this weekend, one of our friends, Holly, she's a therapist, and she's been telling us for a while about this new sort of modality that she's been working in for...
Modality is a $10 word for technique.
Thank you.
Dear listeners.
So she's been getting some training in this new technique that I think... originated to help deal with
PTSD, right?
People with trauma, yeah. And but she's been using it with her clients and just finding so many just benefits from this particular technique. And she, when we hung out with her a couple months ago, she's like, if you guys want me to do it with you sometime, let me know.
She's been doing a ton of training. Like, she goes to Colorado. She's been multiple times. She's going again. Like, she's getting up to speed. There's this one woman who invented this model, and she's based in Colorado, and you can go get trained by her at her place.
Right.
And so Holly's been going back and back and back and becoming like increasingly expert in this model.
Right.
It's called CRM. It stands for Comprehensive Resource Model. It's like the most generic sounding name.
It really is.
But it's magic.
It totally
it should
is.
Be core, it should be called like Unicorn Technique or something, because that would, I think, more properly honor the magic that's involved. This woman who invented it is a Reiki master, and there's for sure a bunch of that kind of practice in this model.
Yeah.
It certainly felt like that to me, like the guided meditation-esque aspect of it.
Yeah. So Holly had described the experience to us before, and then... she came up here and we actually each did a session with her in this model. And it was so cool. Like, the experience for me was, it's sort of like a, there's some music playing in earbuds. So it's called diurnal music. And so the music kind of floats from left to right.
It's called bilateral music.
Oh, what did I say?
Diurnal, which means of the day,
yeah.
Which means daytime music, which is not
I'm
that.
I'm so sorry.
I like yours better,
whatever,
almost.
It's not,
I'll describe the music a little bit,
can
though.
Can you just cut that out? Because
no,
I sound like a freaking idiot.
It's fine. You just picked the wrong word. But it's music that drifts from left to right through your head
right.
in this really intentional way. And there's all these different like instruments and sound effects and stuff. It's like the kind of, it's like a much better version of the kind of music that you would hear like when you're getting a massage.
Yes, but it's the left to rightness of it that
yeah.
I think is what matters. And
yeah.
it's funny because like at the beginning when you first put the earbuds in and you hear the music, you notice the left to rightness. By the end, I completely lost the perception of it going from left to right, right?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Which is interesting. But
the one time that I did notice it, there's different breathings that you have to do. Like before we did it, she taught us each five different ways of breathing. She's like, this one's called fire breathing. This one's called ocean breathing. And here's how you do it. And there's different like, you know, visualizations while you breathe. And one of them is like a left to right visualization. Like you breathe in through your right ear. Imagine it hopping a little fence of the meridian in the center of your mind that separates the right from the left and going out your left. And then you breathe in the left and hop the fence and go back out the right. And I found that one, like it when it wasn't synced up with the way the music was moving, I really had to think about
it. Oh, interesting.
And I wonder if that's the point.
Oh, I wonder. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's the music happening. There's these breathing techniques. There's essentially what feels like a lot like just like guided meditation
yeah.
or guided imagery.
Yeah.
That she walks you through.
Or guided visualization.
Yeah.
Because it's a more active thing where you have agency. It's not just like letting your mind wander. You have specific tasks you have to accomplish.
Yeah, right.
It's almost like a video game or something.
Right, right. And before you start any of that, at the very, very beginning, she asks you, you know, what is it that you want to work on today? What is the healing, you know, work that you want to do today? What's the issue?
What's the issue, yeah.
Yeah. And so you start with that thought and it goes from there. And it was really, it was a sort of a profound experience. Like I didn't know what to expect. I have never participated in any sort of like alternative healing exercise before, like energy work or
yeah, no,
anything
me
like
neither.
That. I've never been hypnotized.
I would like to be.
You know, so I've never had any experience really. The closest thing I can say that I've experienced like this is when, you know, you're in a yoga class and
yeah.
like they're doing some like a little like some miniature guided visualization stuff like during
yeah.
your like relaxation period at the end
yeah.
or something like that, you know. I certainly wasn't expecting that like halfway through I would spontaneously burst into tears. Like
I teared up a couple of times.
It was like I could not help it. It was really bizarre. I mean, it was in a particular moment where she asked me to visualize a particular thing that just brought up, you know, something really a deep emotion, you
mm-hmm.
know, that clearly was buried in there
yeah.
That I needed to confront. And it was, you know, it was a profound moment in sort of like what it taught me in the process as well. Like the thing that I was trying to dig into and learn from, it was sort of a pivotal moment for that, for me.
Yeah,
also.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. And so just a light overview. The basic idea is that you identify like a younger version or versions of yourself and you're guided like how to find this. And there's a lot of like, you're told a lot, like don't think about it too much. It's the first thing that comes into your mind is the right answer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so like for me, it was an 11-year-old version of myself and then also a 15-year-old version of myself that were sort of both along with me on this journey,
mm-hmm.
each one of them holding part of that. Right? Like, I guess the idea is that, like, the 11-year-old's holding part of the trauma and the 15-year-old's holding a different part of it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Or holding different experiences that you had at those ages that
yeah.
made a mark in your brain
mm-hmm.
that set your brain on a
yeah.
path for being wired around those experiences
yeah.
ever since then.
And then you have to find sort of like a spirit animal, like a power animal,
mm-hmm.
you know, who also then becomes kind of part of the visualization part of the journey. And there's lots of like, you know, visualize yourself like bonding with this. And it's more specific than that. But that's basically what you do is like first you bond with that power animal. And then that power animal like helps you and your 11-year-old self all like, you're like a little team. And you like go off and like have a spiritual adventure and figure this out. It's
yeah.
really, really interesting.
It was so interesting.
It's the kind of thing where it's like, because you don't go out. You're not hypnotized. So you're there to a certain degree for all of this, you know? And I definitely found myself in moments being like, this is ridiculous, you know? I told Holly this, you know? And I told Holly this afterward,
yeah.
too. I was like, but then you know, I would just find myself also just totally being on the journey too,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
Because like, if you look at it at face value, there is a ridiculous quality to it. It's like, you know, because you can describe it as like, yeah, me and my 11-year-old self and the albino deer going off on an adventure of spirituality.
Yeah.
Like, okay, man.
Totally. Totally.
Good luck, you know? But it's really powerful.
It was. So what was, I would love to hear a description of what is it that you went into hoping to address and what you learned from the process.
Sure. So for me, it was the thing that I wanted to address was my edges, you know, and just being kinder. I work very hard at being kind, but sometimes, and you probably experience this more than anybody, it's you I was thinking of when I said this to her. But like,
hold up, Jamie. This episode is fading out. What's going on?
Well, here's the deal. It doesn't have to fade out if...
If what?
If you are a supporting member.
Oh.
This is a member-exclusive episode of Misfit Stars.
Aha.
And so what that means is that if you want to hear the rest of this episode, first of all, if you already are a supporting member, just switch over to your private feed and you can listen to it there.
Ta-da!
If you are not a supporting member and this sounds like a conversation you want to hear, which, spoiler alert, I think it was a really good conversation. I would hope you'd want to hear it.
That's super deep.
It got super deep toward the end. We started talking about CRM and all that. And it was really cool.
Yeah.
So anyway... All you have to do is go to misfitstars.com/join and just become a supporting member. It's really easy. It's inexpensive. It's $5 a month. And it's just a way for you, A, to support what we are doing with this podcast, and B, to avail yourself of all of these member-exclusive episodes.
That's right.
You get access not just to this member-exclusive episode, but to everyone we've ever done going back all the way to the beginning of time, which for these purposes is November 2018.
That's right. Yeah. Treasure trove of member exclusivity, all available to you.
There's all kinds of good stuff in there, and there will be going forward as well. And we would really appreciate the support. Yeah. Really, this is just another little excuse. We're trying to gently encourage you to do a small thing that's supportive of what we're doing. So if you got $5 a month and you would like for us to have it, you feel supportive of what we're doing, you want to hear the rest of this conversation, please just go to misfitstars.com/join and sign up. It'll take just a minute or so, and then you will be redirected to the place where you can listen to this episode in its entirety.
Right on. Thank you so much.
Yep, we appreciate you all, and hope you're having a great week.
See you next week.
Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.